Hi again, everybody. I'm Pastor Jeremiah, or Pastor Jay. So honored to be with you here today. Growing up, did you have someone in your life that you really looked up to? Someone that you watched their every move so that you could practice it later and become like them? Myself, I loved professional wrestling growing up. And one of the people that I watched on TV and practiced their moves was Hulk Hogan. Anybody familiar with Hulk Hogan? You remember this? Hogan! Another person I looked up to was my dad. We lived on an acreage, and I remember him. He had a bucket of grain every day, go out and feed the rabbits and the chickens and the ducks. And I would go behind him with a smaller bucket and just do everything he did, I followed. One thing I really wanted to do, I thought it was a rite or a passage to manhood, was to shave. And I remember I would secretly watch my dad as he shaved. And when I was about 5 years old, I really wanted to be like my dad. So I went to the bathroom, did everything he did, got the shaving cream ready, got the razor ready, put it on my face, and started to shave. And I remember that I started to cut myself, I started to bleed, I started to cry, but I didn't want to stop because I wanted to be like my dad. Let's not finish the end of that story. The point is, there are people in our lives that we look up to and try to imitate. If you have your notes, you can write this down. For better or for worse, you are who you watch. So watch Jesus. In the Bible, there's a guy named Paul, one of a great writer. And one of the main things he tells us to do is imitate or be like God. Ephesians 5 verse 1 and 2 says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children." And just like we watch our parents and learn from them, for better or for worse, we too are called to watch and learn from God. And Paul tells us that the best way to do this is to learn and watch Jesus. And that brings us to the book of Philippians today. We are doing a series called Get Joy, Give Joy, Together in Community. And we're going through this wonderful book written by Paul to explore how we can gain joy. Last week, Pastor Richard talked about the joy of God found in Philippians 1. And this week, we're going to go to Philippians 2 and talk about joy in humility. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. This is one of Paul's most joyous books. He's so happy with this church. And when I was a kid, and I still have issues now, I get letters mixed up. And when I was a kid, I was so proud of this book because I thought it said the Philippines. And I'm half Filipino. And whenever I saw this, oh, the Philippines. These guys are awesome. They impressed Paul. And I was so proud. They're not Filipinos, unfortunately. Funny aside, my dad's from Eastern Europe, and Philippians was the first church planted in Eastern Europe. Anyway, if you have your Bibles, let's read into God's Word. Hear the Word of the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, Thank you, Jesus. You are our example and our power. So help us learn from you today, Lord, to be more like you. And I pray, Lord, as we are humble, give us the joy that we desperately seek. And may you fill my words today for your glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From this passage, here's what I believe God wants us to know today. The more we are like Jesus, the more we will share in the joy of Jesus. The more we watch Jesus, learn from him, the more we share in his supernatural joy, both personally and as a community. And we're going to focus on one characteristic of Jesus today, his humility. And we're going to look at this passage and look at Jesus' humility in two ways. One, Jesus was humble before God. And two, Jesus was humble before others. And then we'll have some applications which show us how that humility relates to Jesus' joy. The big idea again is, the more you are like Jesus, the more you share in the joy of Jesus. Let's look at the first point. Jesus was humble before God. If you look at verses 6 to 11, there's a little bit of rhythm to it. These are actually lyrics to a song, a hymn. Maybe Paul wrote it, we don't know. And it's beautiful. And one of the things that points to is the divinity of Jesus. Verse 6 says, who, that's Jesus, being in the very nature of God. Wow. Christians believe in something called the Trinity. That is, we believe in one God, which is composed of three persons. They are distinct but equal. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is God. He is one with God. And as God, you would assume that Jesus would be proud. He is God after all. On the contrary, Jesus was humble. If we keep going in verse 6, even though he was one with God, in the very nature of God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used as his own advantage. Another translation says, Jesus didn't use it to exploit himself or others or to grasp for power. And many commentators believe that this is actually an allusion to another story. Back in Genesis 3, we have the first humans. God created Adam and Eve in this beautiful paradise called Eden, and it was all good. There was harmony between man and woman. They were best friends. They loved each other. There was harmony between humanity and all creation, and there was harmony between us and God. Adam and Eve walked with God casually every evening. And God loved them, cared for them, and gave them only one commandment. You can have all this, but just don't eat of one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And things were going good until humanity was deceived by an enemy of God in the form of a serpent. This serpent came to Eve and said, did God tell you not to eat of this fruit? And Eve said, yeah, if we do, we will die. And the serpent said, no, you won't die. In fact, you'll become like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. And unfortunately, Adam and Eve, they grasped that fruit. They grasped this desire to become equal to God. And when they disobeyed God, when they sinned against God, the Bible says this curse invaded all creation. Man and woman became enemies. There's always constant fighting. There was a curse over the earth, and humanity and the earth were always in turmoil and conflict. And also we were separated from God. And this attitude of grasping for power, becoming like God, has stuck with humanity. And we rejected God. And unfortunately, that's when death entered all creation, this curse. And instead of disobeying God and grasping for power, Jesus fully obeyed God and was humble, even to the point where he gave up all his power. It says in Philippians again, verse 6, he didn't take advantage, but rather in verse 7, Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. The Greek word here is kenosis, which can mean emptying, giving up. And the idea is Jesus fully surrendered his will to God. And before he went to the cross, he prayed, "Lord, your will, not mine, be done. What you want, not what I want." And Jesus was humble in a couple ways. One, he became a human. Can you imagine God of the universe becoming one of us? It'd be like a human becoming a mosquito. How low can you go? And also, Jesus went and died on a cross. Now, if you know the history, the cross was one of the most brutal ways that the Roman Empire executed its criminals. And it was reserved for the worst of the worst criminals, those who had sinned or did a crime against Rome itself. And it was terrible. It was brutal. And also, the Jews believed that to hang someone from a cross or hang from a pole or a tree meant that that person was cursed by God. Now, no one, especially a Jew, would brag about their leader being crucified. But that's what Paul does here. He became found appearance as a man, humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Paul believes that Jesus wasn't crucified because he was disobedient, but because he was fully obedient. My goodness. And Paul is telling us that Jesus has delivered that curse that Adam and Eve brought through this act. Jesus did become cursed, not because he deserved it, but because we deserved it. In Galatians 3:13, another place where Paul is writing, he writes this: "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written," and this is the basis of why the Jews believed to be on a tree or crucified was a curse from God. "For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. But Christ redeemed us in order that we may receive the blessing of God." Instead of us bearing the curse, instead of us dying for our sins, Jesus died in our place because he loved us. But the good news is, 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, another person of the Trinity, raised Jesus to life. And that's why we can sing with Paul, the end of Philippians 2, "Glory to God. Jesus is the name above all names. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. Jesus has won the victory. He has defeated the curse of death brought by the first humans. And now we can experience harmony with each other. Now we can experience harmony with creation, and we can have now a relationship back to God. And also because of this, we can be like God. Saint Athanasius writes, "For the Son of God became man so that we might become like God." Because of what Christ has done, we now can be like Jesus. The more you are like Jesus, the more you'll share in the joy of Jesus. Now, Jesus doesn't say, "This is what I did. I became humble. Now you do it." No. On the contrary, Jesus is alive. Now he is with us through his Holy Spirit. And verse 1 in chapter 2 says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ." I love that image. Paul says, in terms of unity, that Christ is in us, but also we are in Christ. Can you get your mind wrapped around that? It's confusing. How I like to describe it is, think of your favorite restaurant. And I can't wait when I can go back to my restaurant and sit inside and just relax. One of my favorites is a Croatian restaurant downtown. And think of it, you going to your favorite restaurant. You go inside the building and you feel the atmosphere, the smell of the food. You're warm, you're cozy, it feels great. You sit down and then the food comes. And oh, it's coming out. The shavapi is perfect and it's sitting right there and you eat it. You are both in the restaurant, in the building. And once you eat the food, the restaurant is in you. Make sense? kind of in a similar way, we are united to Christ. Christ, when we come to Jesus, he surrounds us with his love. He protects us. There's armor and he's a shield. And at the same time, the Bible says the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. And because we are united with Christ, we don't just have to look at Jesus and try to be better, try to do it. Rather, Christ is in us, giving us strength to be humble, making us humble, and giving us joy. You can write this down. Pride is trying to be like God without God. That's what Adam did. That's what humanity has tried to do. We try to grasp for power. Humility is accepting God's gift and promise to make us like him. God wants us to be like him, to share his power and his joy with us. He doesn't hoard his power. He shares it. And Christianity is not just trying to be better, trying to do better with our white knuckles, but it's resting the fact Christ has done it all already. He has redeemed us. He has broken the curse, and now he lives in us and is around us to make us more like him. And the more you are like Jesus, the more you share in the joy of Jesus. And I encourage you, if you've never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, to consider it. He loves you so much. He wants to give you joy. But know, it's a free gift, but it does cost your surrender. Let's do an application. You can write this down. We get Jesus' joy by serving God. Hebrews 12:2 talks about the joy of Jesus. It says here, "For the joy set before him, he," that's Jesus, "endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Did I read that right? Did it say, "For the joy, Jesus endured the cross"? Wow! And Jesus had joy because he knew that he was serving God. Humans were made in God's image. And one way to interpret that is we are made to reflect God. And we are made to follow God's design and God's plan for us. And every time we do that, every time we obey and serve God, there's a deep sense of joy because this is who we are. This is who we were created to be. And when we're off that track, there's a sense that something is off. Something is not right. And Jesus is the perfect image of God. He shows us what that actually means. And I encourage you this season to watch Jesus. If you have a Bible, if you don't have one, get one. Read the Gospels of Jesus. Those are stories of who he is. Pray. Sit in silence. Listen to Jesus, even fast. Learn from him. He is alive. He is in you. He is surrounding you. And he wants to make you like him. And as we draw closer to Jesus, we will experience his joy. And the joy that we are going to experience, Paul explains it here. We get in verses, chapter 2, verses 1, we get encouragement from being united with Christ. We get comfort from his love. His love washes over us. We get a common sharing of the Spirit. We get God's tenderness and compassion, which all leads to joy. At the same time, though, we must know that as we accept and receive Christ's glory, we also must accept his suffering. During the time of writing this letter, Paul is in prison, and he writes about it in verses 1:21, or chapter 1, verse 21. "For it has been granted to you on my behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, to rest in him, to enjoy him, but also to suffer for him." To be a Christian means that we are called to be like Christ. And that means to serve God, even when it gets difficult, even when it feels impossible. And during those times, Christ Jesus promises to be with you, strengthening you, helping you. And through those times, he may use it to tell others about the good news that he offers. And he is using those times to make you more like him. So rest in him, trust in him, and hold on to him. The more you are like Jesus, the more you'll share in the joy of Jesus. And he promises in those hard times to give you joy and peace. Let's look at the second point. Jesus was humble before God, and also Jesus was humble before others. One of the reasons that Jesus had joy on the cross was that he knew that it would save all of us. It would save you and me. And on the cross, Jesus was thinking about us. and it brought him great, great joy. And that was the point of Jesus' ministry, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And when we become like Jesus, we become humble before others, and our joy is serving them. Paul, his joy comes from the fact of Jesus' love and the diligence of all the great things the Philippians are doing. But he says in verse 2, please make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one in spirit and of one mind. Paul says his joy would be filled up if Christians were more unified, if they actually served each other and loved each other. And this unity Paul's talking about isn't just having the same beliefs or just being all the same. We're not a cult. Paul says being and having the same love, not just the same beliefs. One commentary says, being of one mind involves not just agreeing with each other, but having their lives directed in the same way. It does not just mean similar beliefs, but a united purpose of life and united relationships. It's when we are united to Christ and we just have a desire to serve each other. And this unity is only possible through the humility of Jesus. Like us today, the church in Philippi was going through some disagreements. There's probably theological disagreements about who could be entered in, whether the Gentiles should have to follow Jewish customs. There's probably other moral and political disagreements. And Paul is asking them and telling them, the unity should not be based on being right. Who's right? Who has a better position? But in being in Christ, in being in his love. Humility, this tendency, this desire to serve others urges us to love the people we disagree with, to value our relationship to them because of Christ, not just being right. And there are times we have to distance ourselves from somebody because of a certain belief. But we should do so out of love still, not because we think we are better than them or have a superior position. That attitude is to love and serve them, even if we disagree. Another way that the church was divided was actually through wealth. The church in Philippi was made up of a mix of people. We see in Acts, the first three people of the church were one, Lydia, who's a wealthy merchant, two, a jailer, kind of a working class ex-military guy, and then a slave girl. What a mix. And one commentary says, Paul is speaking of, throughout the letter, is not a unity based on social status, economics, or shared interests. Rather, it's a unity grounded in something far more comprehensive, the gospel, Jesus himself. The only reason these three could be in the same room was because of Jesus. And I work with people who live in poverty and homelessness, and unfortunately a lot of them, they don't come to mainstream church because they feel like they don't fit in. They feel judged. This is a theme throughout scripture. Another person named James, he wrote a story in James chapter 2 where he says, a really rich, good-looking, wealthy person comes to church, and the greeter at the door says, oh, you come to this nice table, come nice chair, it was great to have you. And then someone who is poor and not looking too fresh comes in, and the greeter says, oh, you sit over there on the floor. And James is so angry at this favoritism. And the reason we sometimes act like that is because we're not humble. We think that we're better than them. We deserve and have worked for our status, our wealth. We have been blessed by God while others not so much. We must remember that the Lord gives, yes, but also he takes away. And sometimes God blesses us in the most wonderful way by allowing the cross, allowing suffering and loss, not just gain. And James, in response to all this, says, how dare you look down at the poor? In James 2:5, it says, don't you know that God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith and inherit the kingdom of God? In the same way, Paul wants us to have this attitude in verse 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Now, this attitude of humility, I've struggled with this verse. does not mean self-deprecation. Does not mean just looking down on yourself. C.S. Lewis says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. To make it more clear, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but to think of yourself less often. That is, humility is not focusing on you. How good I am, how great I am, how good looking I am. And it's not focusing on how bad you are. Oh, I'm so bad compared to that person. Both times the focus is on you. Rather, humility is other focused. It's when you always think about the interests of others, always think about serving God, this healthy self-forgetfulness. You know who you are in Christ. You are assured that He loves you and you're a child, but you're not obsessed about it. You're not thinking about it all the time. John Calvin puts it like this, we are not our own. Insofar as we can, let us therefore forget ourselves and all that is ours. Conversely, we are God's. Let us therefore live for Him and die for Him. This is the attitude of Jesus. And this is the attitude Paul wants as we serve God and as we serve others. The more you are like Jesus, the more you'll share in the joy of Jesus. Let me give you another application. We get Jesus' joy by giving joy to others. Out of joy, the Philippian church gave others joy. They gave Paul joy, likely because they gave him a very sacrificial financial gift, even out of their means, even though they were poor, and Paul is so filled with joy. And they did that because they were becoming more like Jesus. So I encourage you in this season, think of ways that you can give others joy, that you can serve others. At Mosaic House, we're doing something called Ding Dong Dash, where we call our neighbors up, ring the doorbell, drop a treat or a meal as a way to show love and kindness. I encourage you, think of creative ways as a household, maybe as a house church, to bring joy to others. Maybe thank frontline workers. Maybe make a financial donation to those who are struggling. And let me give you one challenge. I encourage you to reach out to those or serve those, especially those who are different than you. And don't just serve them, but also allow God to teach you or to be served by them, by people different than you, by people maybe you disagree with. That will give you true humility. One thing I do is if someone who is homeless asks me for some change, I usually give bus tickets, and then I ask them, any words of wisdom for me today? And the point of that is to let them know that they are valued, they are loved, they have worth, and this divine appointment might not be God, me helping them, but God might have set it up for them to help me. And I get the best answers. One time someone said, get more sleep. Yeah, that's a good one. I need it. Another person said, trust in God. He loves you so much. Just keep going. This is who Jesus was. When He was on earth, He hung out with the outcasts, those who were different. And He wants us to be like Him. For the more we are like Jesus, the more we'll share in the joy of Jesus. Jesus was humble before God. He was humble before others, even to the cross. And through that, He was filled with joy. And now He wants us to get that joy by serving God and giving that joy to others. Let me end with this one last point and a story. We are who we watch. So rely on Jesus. Watch Jesus and rely on Him to transform you. Watch Jesus and watch others who are like Jesus. During this pandemic, this wonderful story popped up. It was of a man named Don Giuseppe Berardelli. He was a priest in Italy, 72 years old, and he contracted COVID-19. And his parishioners got enough money together to get him a ventilator. And when he got it, he looked at us and said, no, give it to someone who is younger. And unfortunately, he passed away. And this for me was a very encouraging story of Jesus' love and humility. And this man becoming like Jesus. And then I found out it was fake. It wasn't true. It was actually fake news or half fake news. In fact, you know, the media goes, they kind of explode the story. Giuseppe was so sick, he actually couldn't take the ventilator. And we're not sure, he could have given it to somebody, but privacy laws make it impossible for us to know what he actually did. And one of his best friends cleared up all the misunderstanding, and despite him not, we're not sure if he did this very act, his best friend says this of him. He was a very special person and a man of great virtue and of great faith, humble before God and man, serving his neighbor community, and if he had the chance, he would have done such an act. Enjoy. And this got me thinking, oh, too often we watch those big inspirational stories for inspiration. But oftentimes, more often, God uses those small, humble, ordinary acts to teach us about humility, to teach us to be like Jesus. Jesus' humility is found in a pastor like Giuseppe, quietly caring for his church and neighborhood. It's found in a father caring for his children, a grandmother secretly praying every day, a woman who's been single her whole life, but whom God has used tremendously to shape and influence and mentor many people in the church, her spiritual children. A nurse trying to live out the kindness of Jesus even in the midst of intense pressure. In these humble acts, these not fancy or glamorous acts, that's where you learn Jesus' humility. And I'm so honored to be part of a community at Mosaic House where there's so many great examples of this. God wants to use those humble people, those humble acts, to teach us to be more like Him. So watch for them. Watch Jesus. Watch people who are like Jesus. For the more we become like Him, the more we'll share in His joy. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank You that out of heaven, out of Your power, You came down to become one of us, even to the cross. We are humbled by Your humility. Help us, Lord, to become like You. Thank You, Lord, that Your reckless love surrounds us and fills us. Your grace empowers us so that we can be like You. So help us keep in step with Your Spirit. Help us to watch You intently during this season. And thank You for the work You're doing in our lives and in the lives of our church. Please give us the joy we desperately need. We pray this in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.